That's some version of Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We're talking a lot of Cavs today. And Chris Fedor is working right now for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. When things ease up with the Cavaliers and their postseason cleaning out of things that they didn't expect to be doing today, Chris will be joining us here on the show. Chris Rose will join us coming up at 1 o'clock, our buddy from the NFL Network. And, of course, dugout discussions and baseball today.
Yeah, said Nolan Good was the quarterback at Avon and should be at Kent.
Yes, he was.
G-O-O-D.
Yeah. Yes, I called a game that he did at InfoCision Stadium. He was very good.
And his last name happens to be the code word this hour. Congratulations, Nolan.
That's wonderful.
I don't know what's more exciting, playing football at Kent or being the code word.
Might be the code word.
Playing the hits on a loser Wednesday right here.
Might be the code word. What do you think the front office is thinking right now of the Cavaliers?
Oh, man, I hope Dan doesn't call today. I just need one day away. I'm hoping Dan doesn't call. What time do you think the meeting was this morning, 5:45?
What do you think the front office is thinking today, other than hope Dan doesn't call?
What time were they gathered? Oh, man.
Do you think they're thinking?
I've seen those faces before, too. Remember when they used to have the little luxury boxes?
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the, they were right by the bench. They remodeled those. But
yeah,
you could feel the misery of every general manager that's ever called Cleveland home when you knew the season was about to end, and you'd see them all huddling in there going, all right, guys, well, I guess this one didn't work. It was good working with her. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll work again.
My favorite moment in those little boxes where those guys sat.
Yeah.
Right at the tunnel.
Yeah.
One day, Brendan was on the team.
Yeah.
At the time. Former North Carolina Tar Heel and Washington Wizard.
Yep.
And he got up, and any time, like, LeBron would go back to the locker room, these guys would follow.
Oh, yeah.
The GM and, you know, the powers that be would follow LeBron.
It's like the
back
Piper.
In there. Or, you know, if it was anybody else who was a, you know, big name. Brendan got up, and I'm standing in the tunnel. Brendan got up, walked back to the locker room, and nobody blinked. Okay. Brendan's a pretty funny guy. He walks back out. He stops and turns and he goes, "Hey guys, I'm good. Don't worry. No problems. I'm okay." And walked back and sat down on the bench.
Was it Chris who was here?
I think it was Griff.
Oh, it was Griff.
It was so funny because Brendan was just, "Guys, I'm okay. No problems. Don't worry. I'm good." It just cracked me up. I think the front office, they clearly have decisions to make.
Of course.
But Andy, this is going to be a fascinating thing to watch this offseason. Do they think they need to bust up the core four? Or do they need to supplement the rest of the roster with guys who really fit with what they're trying to do here? And if so, if they deem that to be, well, then how do you get those guys? I will be the first to admit I do not understand. No, I'm not your first apron, second apron, over the line guy when it comes to the money. What I do know is this: they're in a world of hurt when it comes to trying to sign guys and bring in guys for money, because they've spent a lot of money on this roster, very expensive roster. They don't have first-round picks to trade.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what they're going to do with those two second-round picks. That was probably what the meeting was this morning. What do they have, 49 and 50 this year?
Does that mean
I think it's where they are right now. I think
if you're banking on improving the roster with second-round picks,
oh, yeah,
good luck to you. We know they're not doing that.
Jeff, if this was the NFL, they were second-round picks, we would expect a lot out of them. I'm just saying. I'm expecting both of our second-round picks to be playing somewhere overseas.
I just wonder, and who was it earlier in the show? One of our callers made a great point. I won't say who I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You had Tristan on the team, and he didn't play very much. I understand the idea of having veterans on the team and blah, 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 blah. I've had former players tell me veterans on the team who don't contribute don't do anything. Doesn't matter. If you can't play, it doesn't matter.
Aren't they like in charge of the team text chain or anything?
You have coaches. Those are the guys that matter. If you're bringing in a veteran for leadership, he better be able to play, because otherwise it doesn't matter. I've heard that from former players. If you're just sitting there, I don't care. But if you're helping me on the court and off the court as well, that's a different story. So, and one of our callers said, why'd you have him here? You could have brought in a young guy, worked with him, developed him, and try to have a guy who you could end up having be a contributing factor for your team.
You know who I think of when you define, I always think of Hartenstein, who is, you know,
Isaiah, who I liked a lot.
Yeah, and they let him go.
I liked him a lot. I thought he was a terrific young player.
Just release him?
They didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
And now he's a key member of a Houston team that did some good things this year.
Hartenstein, didn't matter.
Steinstein, regardless, he can play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what this team's going to have to do, unless they decide to go big trade. We're going to blow somebody up and we're going to move somebody. And that would not be a condemnation of, say, Jaren Allen or Darius Garland. What it would be is we're looking for the best roster fit we can find. You know, does Max Strus get moved? I like Max. Is he your starting three? I don't think so. You know,
no.
DeAndre Hunter's under a long-term contract. I'd start DeAndre myself, and I'd look for another guy who can come in and do similar things to what DeAndre can do.
Plus, you made a pretty big investment to bring him here. You did.
Well, you let
players that might have been able to help you in the playoffs.
Well, I don't think there's any question that Caris LeVert and George Niang could have been beneficial for this team in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But so was DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, he messed up his thumb. You know, ideal world, do you bring any of those guys back? You might not have the money to. And you might not have the money to make the kind of moves that you might need to make. If you just look at what Indiana has done, you know, they traded a star player. They traded Domantas Sabonis and brought in Tyrese Halliburton. Why? Fit. They thought it would be a better fit for what they wanted to do. And all right, we're trading a big guy for a guy who's going to run the whole offense for us. Halliburton gets very little respect. He deserves more. They gave up a boatload for Pascal Siakam. It's not the kind of trade I like, as you know. I think they gave up too much, but Siakam is a really good player, and I like him.
Gave up a ton.
I don't like those kind of trades.
But look where they are now. And so maybe at the end of the day, Indiana's what they gave up 3 first-round picks, I think 2 players in that, to Toronto in that deal.
Yeah, but
it was a major.
And the players they gave up were not of high caliber.
Brown, I'm trying to remember who was in that trade.
They weren't like giving up Lowry Marketing and
no
a guy like Sexton who can score. They brought in Obi Toppin. All right, Knicks had had enough. Obi was a nice player for them.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Thomas Bryant. Was he great? No. Did he serve a purpose? Yes, he certainly did. And those might be the kind of guys the Cavs can go out and bring in. You know, you find a guy who didn't work with another team but might work with you, and they might be able to get guys like that and might be able to get them on the cheap. You never know. Robert is in Cleveland. Robert, got a minute, buddy.
Hey, I was just calling. I just wanted to make a few points.
Go ahead.
I know you talked about the backcourt. Mitchell and Garland was 12 of 41. I think Nembhard and Halliburton took less, like maybe 10 to 12 shots.
They were 17 of 26 combined, Robert.
Right, and they scored 10 more points in the backcourt in Cleveland. That's number one. Number two, I feel like I disagree with, I think his name was Smooth Ray or something like that.
Cool Ray.
So we played guys 30 minutes all year. We swept Miami, had time to rest. So where was the fatigue? That shouldn't have been a factor. That's number two. Number three, we was killing them in the paint last night, and everybody, Donovan Mitchell and Garland, they just start shooting jump shots. And it's like, where's the coach in the state? Stop doing that. Go back to the paint where we controlled the game. Jared Allen, I mean, you have to set him up. Evan Mobley, he can get his own. But Jared Allen, he'd be the backup center to replace his inability to get buckets on his own. The little push shots he kept trying, kept getting blocked. And you got
only took 6 shots.
Right. That's because he can't create his own offense.
Yeah, but most centers, Robert, can't. You know, most centers need to get the ball passed to them and set up. And Evan's the same way. Evan can create his own shot to some extent. He's still a big guy who needs to get the ball, and that's what guards are supposed to do. And I again, this team to me doesn't reach its full potential until Evan Mobley becomes Batman to Donovan Mitchell, Superman. 216-474-0092. Fedor coming up. Chris Rose coming up. More of your phone calls coming up right here on The Fan.